me turn now to Luke chapter 2. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. And the words in verses 29, 30 and 31. These would have been spoken about when Jesus was a month old or so. But the words of a man called Simeon, a man who'd heard from the Lord that he would actually see Jesus Christ before he died. And he says in verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Well, there's a lot of things there, but first of all, the whole idea that God has prepared, that God prepared the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has gone to the bother of preparing the Saviour. Now, we thought last week, and it's good to be reminded, that if God has been there from the beginning, if God made the world, if God planned its history, then before he started, he had all worked out what was going to happen. It'd be silly for him to play about with it as you go along. He planned it all like an architect. And if he planned it all, then if asked, but there was no one there to ask him, he could have said what would happen in the first year, in the 50th year, in the 100th year, in the 1000th year from creation, because he'd planned it all. And so it is that because he knew things that nobody else could know, he put it into the minds of the prophets who wrote the Bible to be able to say some things long before they'd happened. And not because the prophets knew, but because God, who knew, told them. And that way, he would show people that God was alive, that God was real, that God had planned everything, and that God had accurately told the people who wrote the Bible the things he was going to do. And from the beginning of the Old Testament, right through until the time that the Lord Jesus came, there are lots and lots and lots of verses that speak of the Saviour before he came, so that people would be prepared. Why? Even when Adam sinned and fell, God promised that a Saviour would come. A Saviour who would destroy Satan and tread on him, just like you tread on the head of a snake. All through the Bible, there are all sorts of things written long before Jesus came that could only have been prepared by God, who knew it all from the beginning. And Simeon says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared. God has prepared such a Saviour. What a wonderful thing we thought of, how God prepared the person of the Saviour. How the Holy Spirit, we're told about this in Luke chapter 1, how the Holy Spirit himself came upon Mary and enabled her to receive from God the perfections of God in this life. Instead of the man sowing the seed, the Holy Spirit, and also the Holy Spirit prepared Mary in such a way that none of her failings and sins came over into the life that was born in the womb, so that Jesus was wonderfully, perfectly God and perfectly man. God prepared. God also prepared that by saying beforehand that Jesus would be born in Jerusalem. He'd arranged that that was the appropriate place. Sorry, in Bethlehem. He had arranged that that was the appropriate place. It was the place where David himself had been brought up. And that was also, together with Jerusalem, known as the city of David. But it was Bethlehem. And Jesus had, and God had enabled a prophet to write down that information, that that was where God wanted. But all the events that led up to him being born there, he was living miles away. Well, his mother and father were living miles away, Joseph and Mary. And because of the Roman emperor thinking at that exact time that he would have the first enrolment ever, not for voting, but so that they could be taxed for money, he organised that just at that time there would be an enrolment, a taxing, a registering. And that everybody, so that it should be organised, would have to go to the city where they were brought up. And so it was that Joseph went with Mary to Bethlehem. And when she was there, not before, not after, she had the baby. God had prepared those things. And everything to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus and with his life was prepared by God. And his death was prepared by God. He was born to die. That is why he took human flesh, because he had to share with us our nature. And we all die, so Jesus was born to die, but born so that his death might do a wonderful thing. Because he was without sin, he was able to pay the price of every sinner who believed in him. All the things that people needed to be punished for because they had sinned. If they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of their sins, the death of Jesus made atonement for that sin, paid the price of that sin. And this was something that God had prepared. And he prepared his resurrection. And he prepared the home in heaven for everyone who believes in him. And God has prepared the new heavens and the new earth that shall be for every believer. So first of all, I wanted you to think about those words, the salvation which thou hast prepared. And then, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour, and all salvation is in him alone. We wouldn't think that we needed saving. No human being, unless they were carefully taught and thought a lot about their own behaviour, would ever think they needed saving. Even the worst behaved people always think, well, there's somebody worse than me, I'm all right. And therefore wouldn't think about the things that they were doing. So it is that God has prepared a salvation. And that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have known that we needed saving. And therefore he sent the Lord Jesus to be a saviour. Down the years people have tried to say, well, that he was sent for a good example. Well, I ask you, if the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect as the Bible teaches, what sort of an example is that to us? We just can't do it, can we? We just look at that and say, well, we can't do it like that. We might as well give up. He doesn't come as an example. He comes in order that we might see, certainly, what perfect manhood could be and measure ourselves in comparison so that we might run to his arms and say, we can't do it, but we do need to be pardoned. Wilt thou forgive us? Wilt thou accept us? And his righteousness is counted to us. His perfections are counted to the believer who has no perfections. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is a saviour from sin for all guilty sinners. He said himself, I come not to save the righteous, but to bring sinners to repentance. The worse we are, the more we need him. But the better we are, surely we know enough about ourselves to know we still need him just as much. And then this man said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. God had told him by the Spirit that he would see the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he says, well, I've seen him. And I believe that this is the Lord Jesus. And I believe he's the Saviour from sin. And now it's time to die. I'm getting on. I don't mind dying. Because I've had salvation. I've seen the Saviour. I believed in the Saviour. It's all right to die once you know the Saviour. Because he was an older man. Now, he didn't know when he was going to die. We don't know when he died. But I simply present to you this, that we may depart in peace when we've seen salvation, when we've been saved. Of course, I suppose, unless you're a policeman, or unless perhaps you're a doctor, or unless you're an ambulance driver, or a minister, you don't see the seamy side of life. The majority of us, perhaps even in a lifetime, wouldn't see more than 20 or 30 people die. We might. But of course, policemen see it all the time. Perhaps 30 a month. Doctors may see it. Nurses in hospital. But most of us are cushioned. We don't see this death. We don't get to thinking about what it's like. Now, I see it from another perspective. I see people who've got old, even older than me. And yes, they went to Sunday school and they read about the Lord Jesus, but they didn't actually ever say, "Dear Lord, I confess my sins, I want to belong to you." They just heard it, filed it up like they'd remembered their geography lessons and their history lessons and their maths and their English spellings. They just remembered those things, but it didn't mean anything to them. And then they got older, and that was the thrilling part of life. They could marry, they could paint their house, they could go out, they could drive cars, they could do all sorts of things. But they didn't think about God or worshipping him any longer. And then they became a little ill. And they thought, "Oh, well, one day I better think about changing. But I think I'm going to get better from this illness. I won't bother very much." Until they get to be old. And when they got to be old, and they had never sought God, and suddenly they began to find that just as they got old, that God didn't seek them. It's a strange thing. It is always possible to be saved right up until the last moment. We can never say that the Lord won't forgive those who seek repentance. But you know, the older we get, the less likely we want to do it. It's a funny thing. Did you know that most people who become Christians, who become believers, do so before they're 16? The next best age for believing is between 16 and 22. After that, it gets more and more and more and more difficult. Have you ever tried to cut down a tree? Not too bad when it's just a year or two old. You can even dig it up from underneath and just pull it. If it gets to be 10, you've got a problem. You probably can saw the bits or prune the top bits, saw the next bit and dig like mad. And if you break your back, you might just make it. If it's 200 years old and going strong, not a tree that's about to be blown over by the wind, you'll not move it. You'll not move it. And that's how people get. They can't be moved to think about things, even if they're things that are good for them, even if they're things about being repentant. The older they get, unless God comes, and unless God persuades them in their heart, and unless God changes them. But here was a man. He didn't mind dying because he believed in the Lord Jesus. And he'd seen him and he knew he was true. And he was happy to die. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, both Gentiles, a light for them, and a glory for Israel." Everybody, when the angels came, they spoke about, "Unto you is born this day, for all people. There is no age of history, and there is no nation on earth that the Lord Jesus won't save people from. The Lord Jesus has come to save people from all walks of life, and from all times of history, and all nations." And he does do that. And that being the case, it's such a sad thing that we should be left out. Oh, there will be millions of Americans in heaven, millions of South Americans from different periods of history, millions of Africans, millions of Europeans, mostly from previous centuries, it be it said, millions of Asians. Shame that we won't be there, isn't it? If we don't believe. Such a shame. But Simeon was keen. He'd met the Lord Jesus. He was getting older. He knew he was the Saviour. And he'd long since planned that when he saw the Saviour, he knew that he'd come to save him from his sins and that he would believe. And he didn't mind dying, and he would die in peace and quiet and happiness because he believed the Lord Jesus and he believed that God had prepared him from the beginning. I finish with this. God hasn't prepared anyone else. There's none other name given among men by which we may be saved other than the Lord Jesus. God has only prepared one person. He hasn't prepared the founder of any other religion, and he hasn't prepared any other person, not even a Moses, not even a David, not even a Solomon. Each of them were sinners, and each of those needed saving. All of them had a cloud on their life. Even Moses wasn't allowed to see the promised land, you remember, because of a sin at one part of his life. But they were saved, they were forgiven, they were pardoned. But only Jesus is the Saviour. There isn't another. You can search all the religions of China and of India and of Pakistan and of the East. You can search all the other types of religions there are. You'll not find another Saviour. And if you get taken in by them, you may get forever put off by believing. But Simeon had got it right. I can die in peace because I've seen the Lord Jesus. I believed in him. And I know that he is the one that God has prepared and nobody else. Well, may God bless you this Christmas and may you put all your trust in him and do it now rather than at some other time if the Lord directs by your Spirit, by his Spirit. Amen.